All right, let's just go with this one for right now. All right, Matthew chapter 13 this morning. There must be something that the devil's worried about this morning, that he's trying to cause some trouble already. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to begin reading in verse number 3 and read down to verse 9. And our emphasis this morning is on the seed. The ministry of Brother Robinson is called Bearing Precious Seed. And specifically, his ministry is Seed Line. And all of these are talking about the Bible as the seed. The seed is the Word of God. And we read about that in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse number 3. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, as we come to this part of our service, we pray, God, you'd give us ears to hear. Father, and hearts to receive your precious word. God, may we see ourselves somewhere among these four examples that the Lord gave us. And, Father, I pray we'd find ourselves in the right example. I pray, Father, you'd search our hearts this morning. We're your children. We belong to you by our faith in Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray that we would have open, soft, and receptive hearts to your word every time we hear it preached or proclaimed. Every time we read its words on its pages in our lap. That, God, our hearts would always be open to the working of the word of God. Bless the preaching of your word this morning. I pray, Father, you'd take those things that you've laid upon my heart. Help me, God, to faithfully communicate them. Lord, help me to remember those things that you'd have me to say and forget the things that are unnecessary. I pray, God, you'd get all the glory from what we do here this morning. We pray most of all, should there be one today without Jesus Christ in their heart and life, God, I pray you'd help them to realize the emptiness of their life without you. And God, speak to that heart and draw that one close to you this morning for salvation. Bless, we ask, the preaching of your word today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The verses I've read is a parable that Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples, and you'll notice in verse number 18, he gives us the title of that parable. It said, Hear now therefore the parable of the sower. He says in verse number 3, A sower went forth to sow. A parable, as you know, is a fictional story. It's not a true story. It's a made-up story. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, I am sure, if he wanted to tell any story in the vast resources of his knowledge and information, he could come up with a true story if he wanted to. In his dealings with mankind over already 4,000 years of history by the time he came to earth manifest in the flesh, I'm sure there was a situation that covered anything he wanted to tell. But at the same time, he told parables so that those listeners would know that there's an important truth that he's trying to express. That they would not focus so much on the names of the individuals, but focus on the story that he's telling. See, at other times he would tell stories about Lazarus. He would name people when he told stories, and the Jewish mind and our natural mind would focus on the person himself. When Jesus told parables without names attached, there was a purpose to it. Therefore, he punctuated it in verse number 9 by saying, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." It would be notable another time that three different parables, Jesus used those words at the conclusion of the parable, because he was trying to make sure they understood. Don't worry about the person. Don't focus on the person. But get the story. Get the truth. A parable is a story which illustrates a biblical truth. So we're not focusing on the persons or the people involved. We're focusing on the truth that Jesus Christ is trying to communicate here. Be mindful of that every time you read that Jesus spoke in parables. Understand, don't focus too much on the specifics, but get the generality of the story. And here we find three elements in the parable that he's talking about here. We see, first of all, the sower in verse number 3. "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." Now, you and I, in our modern terminology, would think of the farmer. And he would go out in modern day with big machinery and plant seed that goes right down into the ground. But back in biblical days, obviously, they didn't do that. They put a bag on their side, they reached in for a handful of seed, and they just sowed the seed anywhere they walked through that field. And the sower would go out and he would sow that seed, and the Bible said that the sower went forth to sow. That's what a sower does. He sows. Did you know that every one of you here this morning are a sower? Every person in this room this morning, no one's exempt. Not everybody's a preacher or a missionary or a Sunday school teacher, but everybody is a sower. You sowed today. You have sowed this morning. You say, "Preacher, I haven't sowed the Word of God. I haven't gone out, as the story is going to talk, and thrown the seed out there. I've not done that." But you sowed something today. Hold your place there, if you would, quickly. Look over at Galatians chapter 6. Here is a truth that modern man needs to get a hold of, and modern day Christians especially need to get a hold of. Galatians chapter 6, you know where we're going. Most of you know what we're going to say. But look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, where the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth," all right, here's our word, "whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." There is indisputable proof. It's an infallible law that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Isn't it amazing when people don't comprehend that simple fact? "Well, I don't understand why this happened to me." Well, let's look and see what you did. Let's see the circumstances that surrounded your actions. Let's find out why this happened. Now, we generally think of that in the attribute of evil things. Well, why did this bad happen? Well, look at what you did. Look what you sowed here. Look at what you did there. Look how you defiled yourself here. Now these consequences come to pass and you're wondering, why did this happen? It's a natural law. That which you sow, you're going to reap. Notice verse number 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Now, there's so many examples of this. The alcoholic says, "Why did I get cirrhosis of the liver?" The cigarette smoker says, "Why did I get cancer? Why did I get emphysema?" The breaker of the law says, "Why do I end up in jail?" All right? Those are not arbitrary things that happen to you. Those are results of the things that you sowed. Now, those are big examples, and I understand you follow along with me that. But everything we do, we are sowing, and we're going to reap a consequence for it. We live in a society that wants to sow whatever they want to sow and think that no consequences should come from that. That's not the way things work. "He that soweth of the flesh shall reap corruption," but notice the end of verse 8, "and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You've all sowed this morning. You sowed something by getting in your vehicle and driving to church, or walking if you did. But coming to church, you sowed something this morning, something positive. We need to make a concentrated effort in our lives to be always sowing things that are positive. Now, the religious crowd will sow something positive on Sunday morning, then the rest of the week just walk in the way they want to, and then wonder why things don't fall into place and work the way they should. You and I get comfort in our lives when bad things happen because we know we sowed good and God's going to get us through this. We're all sowers. Notice back here in Matthew chapter 13, that's kind of off the track a little bit. This sower, of course, is sowing the seed. The Bible says in verse 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. So the second element of this story is not only the sower, but the seed. Now, Luke and Mark both give us this same parable, and for time's sake, we're not going to be running back to them. I'll just recite what they write about this same thing. But Luke, in this parable, tells us at the end of giving this story, he says, and the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Whether it's John and Romans, whether it's a New Testament, whether it's an entire Bible, the seed is the Word of God. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, you might want to write the reference down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So there's no doubt, there's no question, the seed is the Word of God. So here Jesus is telling a story about a sower that's sowing in the field, and he's sowing the seed everywhere that he goes, and in this story, that sower is the Christian who is sowing the Word of God. You and I ought to be about our Father's business. We ought to be about doing whatever we can to sow the seed of the Word of God. If this world needs anything today, folks, it needs the Word of God. There are a lot of problems in our society, I understand that. And it takes very smart men and women to try to figure those things out. And thank God we have some people in leadership, some, that are trying to figure out these answers to society and fix it. But can I tell you, they're just fixing the symptom. The underlying fact is people need the Word of God. And if they'll get the Word of God, the other things will begin to fall into place. Now, it's not going to poof, everything turns into magically be okay. People are going to have baggage once they get that. But the Word of God is the answer to everybody's problem. Because it's the only thing that gets them out of this life into the next life in heaven. We can take care of all the mundane, natural things of the human body. We can fix everything in society and make society go good. But if that happens and people die and go to hell for eternity, what good have we done? We just made their life a little bit more comfortable. What they need is the Word of God, and the seed is the Word of God. So we see the sower, we see the seed, and then number three, and this is not the last point of my outline, this is my introduction. Number three, we see the soil. And the soil is going to be the crux of the message this morning. The sower can never do wrong in sowing. The seed is incorruptible. There's no problem with the sower. There's no problem with the seed. The problem is with the soil. Notice in verse number 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Could you underline that? The wayside. Verse number 5, some fell upon stony places. Underline that, stony places. Verse number 7, some fell among thorns. Underline thorns. And verse number 8, and others fell unto good ground. Hallelujah. Underline good ground. We're going to go back for just a few minutes and look at these four kinds of soil that the seed falls on while the sower is sowing the seed. And if I can rush ahead just a little bit, let me tell you this, that only one of the four soils receive the Word of God correctly. Only one of those four soils receives the Word of God correctly. Three out of four of the soils reject the Word of God permanently. Some of them will receive it temporarily, but none of them receive it and bear fruit but the fourth type of soil. Now, I don't want to go too far with this and get into statistics necessarily, but that tells me one out of four soils receive the Word of God correctly. You know what Charles Spurgeon said? He said, the four classes of hearers are to be found in any congregation. As we look at these four types of soil, remember what Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. All of us have one of these four kinds of soils in our heart right now. either wayside soil, stony soil, thorny soil, or good soil, all of us possess that soil right now. And the Word of God can only be planted according to the soil of our heart. We like to make this application about the unsaved, and surely we can. But as Spurgeon pointed out, many people sitting in the congregation of our churches have the same reaction to the Word of God. He said 3/4 of the people that hear the Word of God react negatively to the Bible in the congregation. Now, I hope we're a better congregation than the great Metropolitan Tabernacle of London, England, but I doubt it. Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers. I wouldn't try to hold a candle to him. And if he had a trouble with that in his congregation, I'm not going to try to compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise. But I want to ask you this morning, as we look at these four seeds, four soils, how's your heart? How is your heart? Now, don't think about your children, your parents, the person next to you. How is your heart this morning in being prepared to receive the seed, which is the Word of God? Why did the Lord give us this story that tells us only one out of four received the soil right? Well, I believe He told us that to keep us from discouragement. To understand that not every time you plant the seed, that seed's going to grow. We give the gospel, some of you have been giving the gospel to a friend or a loved one for year upon year upon year, and nothing's ever sprung forth from it yet. To keep you from discouragement is realize it's not the sower's fault, and it's definitely not the seed's fault. It's the soil upon which it's landing. It's hard, it's shallow, it's corrupt. There's a problem there, not with you. Don't be discouraged. Keep giving it out. Now, I don't say these are statistics that one out of every four produces fruit. But if there's 10,180 John and Romans right here going to Romania, and if 1/4 of the people that got those got saved, you know what you and I just did the last 2 days? We just invested ourselves in something that's going to lead to the conversion of 2,500 people. If one out of four gets saved. 2,500 people in Romania or in that part of the world that speak this language will get saved because we sowed this seed. That's encouraging. Don't be discouraged if only one out of four. Don't be discouraged. The Lord told us there's different kinds of seeds. Now, that also helps us with our discernment. Sometimes you'll hear somebody came and say, well, I went out today and I led 3,000 people to the Lord. Now, I know that's an exaggeration, but some of you that have been around a while have heard those stories. I went out for an hour and knocked on doors and led 20 people to the Lord. You know what the Lord says? One out of four. So when we hear these big stories, we don't necessarily question them, but we have some discernment about that. How's your heart this morning? Look, first of all, if you would, at that first soil in verse number 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now we're going to jump down also to verse number 19. Because in verse 3 to 9, Jesus gives us the parable, and then beginning in verse number 19, he explains the parable. Isn't it nice of the Lord to do that for us? To give this story and then explain the story, but he put a little time in between so that the people could mull it over a little bit. And in verse 19, when talking about that wayside soil, he said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh that wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The wayside soil. The condition of this soil is hard. In fact, Luke tells us in Luke chapter 8 and verse 5 that this is the soil that was trodden down. Back in those days in the Bible, they had a big farm area that they farmed, but in that area, they didn't have roads per se, but they had pathways that people walked on. And people many times, to go from one place to another, would walk through those open fields to get from one place. And just like the deer kind of leave it. You ever seen the trail? You said, a deer's been through here today. The people would walk those certain places within that field that the farmer is growing his crop. They would walk through, and usually the same one over and over. And so when he got to that part of the field as he's sowing his seed, that little dirt path that people were walked on, he would just continue sowing because he doesn't know where the seed's going to grow. And some of that seed would fall on that trodden down, hard, packed in surface that people had been working on or walking on. And the Bible said that when the seed hit that soil, it just laid on the top. It couldn't penetrate that soil. So it laid there, and the Bible tells us in verse number four, that the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Devoured it up. Now, if you know your Bible, you're a reader of the Bible. Here's the great thing about reading the Bible. When you read your Bible and you see a word, you say, oh, that word means something. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Who in the Bible devours? And your mind goes over to Peter. Well, the Bible says that the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. So we look back here at verse number four, and it says, the fowls came and devoured it, all right? Who is it that devours the seed that's laying on the top of the surface? It's the devil. In fact, he says in verse 19, then cometh the wicked one. Luke calls him Satan in his parable. Mark calls him the devil in his parable. That seed falls upon that ground, and before it can germinate, before it can even begin to bear any root, the devil comes and plucks it away. Takes it off the top of that surface. The Bible says in verse number 19, he understandeth it not. You know what a lost person should do if they hear the Word of God and they find rising in them some opposition to it? And they immediately want to discard it and immediately want to reject it, they need to recognize the source of their animosity. And that source is the devil himself. That atheist, that agnostic that's got such antagonism against the Word of God, against the seed. Why is it that they have that? Well, because there's a force behind them. There's something called, their hearts are hard. The seed can't penetrate because they don't understand and they won't allow their heart to be penetrated by the seed of the Word of God. You know someone who's just outwardly rejecting the seed of the Word of God and their hearts are hard against it? Remember what the Bible said about Pharaoh back there in the book of Exodus? When God began to work those different plagues on Pharaoh to try to soften his heart up so he'd let the children of Israel go, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. What happens when you do that? The devil comes and takes that seed away. The devil comes and plucks that thing out. The seed can't penetrate that hard ground. I wonder, I hope, there's no one here this morning. When I say, how is your heart? I hope there's nobody here to say, my heart's hard. My heart's cold and calloused against the Word of God. I don't have any interest in that book. I don't have any interest in that Savior. I don't have any interest in eternal life. And I don't have any interest in the things of God. Your heart's hard. And the reason it's hard is because the devil has plucked the seed away. Notice verse number 5. Some fell upon stony places. So we have not only the wayside soil that's hard, but now we have the stony soil. And it says in verse 5, and it fell upon the stony soil, where there had not much earth. Notice the end of the verse. They had no deepness of earth. Now let's qualify this right now. That doesn't mean that it's ground with rocks mixed in. That's my front yard. Try to put a scripture sign in the front yard. You got a drill out there and brrr, down through the ground to put something in there. I was out there putting a scripture sign a few years ago, putting it in my front yard and hoeing and digging. Somebody thought I was putting a for sale sign up, and the rumor got around that the pastor was packing up and moving and leaving. I was putting a Bible sign out in my front yard, but it took a lot of work to do it. So it took me a while to do it. A lot of people saw it. But this is not just ground that's mixed with stone. This is the ground, Herbert Lockyer describes it, as a ground that's got solid stone with a thin layer of dirt over the top of it. Some of you have worked with ground like that. And though there's ground at the top, there's constant stone underneath it, so you're not going to get anything. There's shallowness. There's not much deepness of earth. That's the stony soil. Some people's hearts are just like that. The seed hits the soil. And the Bible says in verse number 5 that when it hit that soil, forthwith, I like that word, forthwith, that means, Mark says, immediately, forthwith it sprung up. You and I have seen those people that get the Word of God, and boy, with joy, they receive it. But not for long. Look down at verse number 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth, that's endureth, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know what that is? That's that person that hears the word of God and with excitement and with joy and with gladness. These are the different words the different gospel writers use to describe this. With joy, with gladness, he receives it. And for a little while, it hits that dirt and it begins to spring up and look like it's really going to do something. It's really going to produce something. There's going to be some fruit come from this thing. And it endures for a little while. But when persecution, when troubles, when trials come. You know one of the main questions I face as a pastor with a new Christian? Pastor, when I got saved, everything was great. Oh, man, I was so glad to have my sins forgiven and be a new creature in Christ and know that God loved me. He said, but I've been saved a little while, and now I need something more. I need to be re-energized. I need to, and folks, this is where the charismatic groups come in and say, oh, you need this. That wasn't enough what you got. You need this. That's not Bible doctrine. All right, when you got Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got everything there was to get. And the problem is not that you need something else. You don't need the gladness pasted on. You don't need the joy pasted on. The joy and gladness is already there if you've got deep root. But if your root is shallow, it grows for a little while, then it withers and it needs something more. No, you've got everything you need. It's in the seed. There's no problem with the seed. But here's a fellow that because of emotion or because of his feeling, he feels he needs something more. And what happens? Well, it's just fleeting. And after a little while, they're done. This whole church thing, this whole salvation thing, this whole Bible thing, this whole God thing is in the past now. And you knock on their door, well, yeah, I used to go to church. I used to be active in the church. I used to serve the Lord in this capacity or that capacity. What happened? Stony soil. How's your heart this morning? I hope you don't have the hard soil, the wayside soil. I hope you don't have the shallow soil, which is the stony soil. Then look at number 3, if you would, in verse number 6. And when, or verse number 7, excuse me. And some fell among thorns. The thorny soil. The thorny soil is a corrupt soil. It said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked the seed. The seed was sown. The ground is not hard. It's not stony. There's enough depth there, but there's too many brambles. There's too much brush. There's too many thorns. And the thorns that are growing up around the seed are demanding the sunlight and overshadowing the seed. The thorns that are around it, the brambles, the brush around it, are demanding the moisture from the ground and sucking it up so that the seed can't get it. And the seed isn't growing on thorny ground because of the thorns. The thorns are taking all the attention. The thorns are getting all the nourishment. And what needs to be nourished is not getting its nourishment. How's your heart this morning? Sometimes we don't grow in the Lord because we've got too much brush, too many thorns. You know what thorns are a picture of in the Bible? Remember what God told Adam when he sinned in the garden? He cursed the ground and said, it'll bring forth thorns. You remember what they made the crown of that went on Jesus' forehead when he died for our sins on the cross? It was made of thorns. And a lot of times when the seed gets planted and the seed begins to germinate and the seed begins to spring up and grow fruit, it's got good ground under it. It's not the shallow ground. It's not the hard ground. There's enough ground under it, but it's corrupt because there's too much sin. And the person gets to the point in their life where they decide, well, if I'm going to live for God, I've got to cut some of this brush out. I've got to bring the brush hog out here and mow all this stuff down. If I'm really going to live for God, if my seed's going to be able to get the sunlight and the water and the dew and grow, I've got to get rid of this other stuff. But it's too big a price to pay. It's too big a step to take for the Lord for them to get out there. and they don't make that step. How's your heart this morning? I hope it's not hard. I hope it's not shallow. I hope it's not corrupt. I hope there's not so much other stuff in your life. And that stuff doesn't have to be evil or wicked. It can just be so much other stuff in your life. Notice what it says in verse number 22 about this one. He that also receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, notice, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now those things aren't necessarily big evil things, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You know, that's what this world is after right now. Watch any advertisement on television. You've got to have this. You've got to have that. You've got to buy this. You've got to buy that. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, what everybody's after. What do? They might make you successful in this life, but they choke the word. How's your heart? The wayside soil is hard. The stony soil is shallow. The thorny soil is corrupt. Oh, but verse number 8. But other fell unto good ground. Good ground. You know what you ought to pray, Christian? Father, make my heart good soil. Could you pray that this afternoon? Go home when you get on and say, God, make my heart good soil. What is good soil? Good soil is fertile soil. Not hard, not shallow, not corrupt, but fertile soil. It's soft. It's soft ground. So when you go plant something into it, there's no rocks in it, there's no thorns in it, and you plant something in that ground and it begins to go down and take root and it begins to spring up, it takes root downward and bears fruit upward, as Jeremiah says. And it produces, it says in verse number 9, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. How's your heart? It all depends, your soil depends on how your heart receives the Word of God. There are folks that don't want to be bothered by what the Bible says. Our society's like that today. Get rid of it. There's an animosity toward the Bible today. One that's in our society that it's never been like this. There's always been animosity toward the Word of God because the devil's always been around and had his crowd. But I believe, and I'm just going by my opinion, as I view society today, I think there's more animosity toward the Word of God now than there's ever been before. A coldness. An unwillingness to even know or to yield. And when we get that feeling toward the Word of God, it's not going to grow. I like what Ezekiel says twice. God says to the nation of Israel, I'll take out your stony heart and make it a heart of flesh. What does that mean? That bad ground, that stony, that shallow, that corrupt ground. God says, if you just come to me, if you just trust me, I'll take that old stony heart out of you and I'll give you a heart that's fertile. I'll give you a heart that's soft. I'll give you a heart that's pliable. We need to ask God, God, make sure, give me a heart that's soft and pliable to your word. How's your heart this morning? Is it wayside? Is it stony? Is it thorny? Or is it good? We need to make sure our heart is good when it comes to the Word of God. We need to recognize when we begin to harden it. We need to begin when we spot the shallowness in our Christian life. We need to say, God, give me good soil. How's your heart? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.